You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. Well, guys, I hope you're well rested because the Orioles start a three-game set in Anaheim tonight and then go on to play three more games in Oakland. So it's going to be one of those weeks with a lot of 10 o'clock starts and a lot of lack of sleep from the kind of fans who like to watch every game. While we're getting ready for that series to start, we wanted to take a look at some trade possibilities. As we know, the Orioles have several players who may very well be on the trade deadline before too long. The number one name on that list, of course, is Manny Machado. You guys may recall that in the offseason there were significant rumors linking the Orioles and Cubs in a possible Machado deal. Well, given the Orioles' slow start, maybe that deal is on the table again. We're going to talk to Evan Altman. He is the editor of CubsInsider.com, and he wrote an article recently about the possibility of a Machado to the Cubs deal. We'll get to that in just a second. Hey folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Hey everybody, welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now by Evan Altman. He is the editor of CubsInsider.com, and I wanted to talk to him about the possibility of a Manny Machado to the Cubs trade. He wrote about that last week at CubsInsider.com. And so I want to, Evan, before we get going on that conversation, I just wanted to preface it with something that I think most of the listeners of Locked On Orioles probably understand, but I just want to make sure I say this every time we talk about Manny Machado trade rumors, and that's everybody knows that logically, there's no reason for the Orioles not to trade Manny Machado at this point. It would be insane not to. They're not going anywhere this season. They could certainly get more for him by trading him now than the compensation pick they would get if they let him go to free agency, all that. However, the factor that we have to keep in mind here is that this is a team owned by Peter Angelos, and they don't always make the logical decisions on these things, and they particularly haven't made the logical decisions when it comes to Manny Machado. So with that caveat, let's speculate away. We know that the Cubs came up a lot in the offseason as a possible landing spot for Manny Machado if they traded him. What happened in that case? So why did that deal not go through, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think it had to do with a few different things. I mean, part of it was, like you said, I think with Angelos kind of, at least the rumored speculation or reports were that they weren't going to allow any of the teams talking with him to have kind of that negotiation window with Machado and his agent. Obviously, with him being a free agent, a team might be looking to acquire him for more than just the season. They might want some time ahead of, you know, to kind of gauge that, test the water to see, well, hey, does this guy want to extend? And for a team like the Cubs, obviously, with their window of contention being open beyond just this year, they might want to go ahead and kind of extend that. So I think that was part of it. But they also look at it saying, well, it's going to take a lot. You know, at the time, the reports were that it would take Addison Russell and Mike Montgomery and maybe two other pieces, and the Orioles kind of looking for pitchers. The Cubs not so great when it comes to kind of those high-level, really highly projectable arms in the system right now. So I think it was kind of a matchup of both sides, and the Cubs saying, well, hey, we'll just keep our cards for now, and we're still going to be able to compete with the team that we've put together. However, maybe down the road, knowing kind of how the Orioles work, if they don't get something done now, he's still going to be on the table later on, and the price will probably have dropped at that point. So, you know, I think it's a mix of things from both sides.
Now, we know from the Orioles' perspective that the season has not started the way they wanted it to, which makes the possibility of a Manny Machado trade vastly higher than it would have been had they got off to a good start. You know, if they were looking at themselves as a contender for the wild card right now, there's no chance they'd be looking to deal him. That's not happening, and the opposite's happening. So we know that that's why we're talking about it from the Orioles' perspective. From the Cubs' perspective, tell me why a Manny Machado deal would make sense and whether you think it's more likely now than it was at the beginning of the season, given, you know, how the NL Central is shaping up.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because there's been some events kind of one way or the other, you know, and part of it is Addison Russell really hasn't, despite the fact that he has had a couple of pretty good games here over the weekend and had a nice triple recently, has looked a little bit better. but he's continued to display some inconsistency. I mean, here's a kid who they thought was going to be able to come up and really be this powerful hitter in that middle infield. And again, you know, drove in 95 runs or whatever it was there, you know, really great situational hitter for a while, but has really tinkered with his hands and his swing and just really hasn't settled into that role. So then part of that leads into the team's offensive inconsistency. You've got a guy who's typically batting somewhere in that middle third of the lineup. And, you know, if he's not able to get that done on a day in, day out basis, it does cost. And we saw a lot early in the season. They were getting shut out more frequently. And it's kind of glaring when the pitching isn't quite as good as what it had been. But we've seen kind of some shifts in that a little bit. The starting pitching has really gotten a lot better. We're seeing the back end of the bullpen really come on strong from Brandon Morrow on down. And in that regard, you've got someone like a Mike Montgomery, really controllable left-handed swingman, but really wants to start, expressed the desire to start in the offseason. And so he could be an attractive piece that maybe is a little bit more expendable to kind of add on with that Addison Russell. So you're looking at kind of a position for position swap. You've got a guy in Montgomery who maybe doesn't have as much value to the Cubs given what the rest of the staff has been able to do. And then, you know, they may look at it as this opportunity, given the rest of the offense that they have, that even if Machado doesn't choose to extend, that they can use that. And you're talking about now an offense that would be unmatched across the National League. If you look at Machado even coming close to what he's done to start the season, you put him in the middle of that lineup with Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Kyle Schwarber and Javi Baez, the list goes on. Now they take that through. If he decides to extend, great. They can sign him and keep on moving. But we also know that they've talked a lot about Bryce Harper. There's a lot of stuff there, however much you want to pay into that. So the thought is they're probably looking to spend really big in the offseason anyway. And as I wrote, it could be one of those situations like a bird in the hand is greater than two in the bush. I think they'd prefer long-term to have someone like a Bryce Harper. But if you can get Manny Machado locked up for a long-term deal, that's not too bad, a consolation prize, if you will. So I think one way or the other, they're kind of looking at like, hey, if we can land one of these guys, it's crazy for us not to. And again, even if Machado were to leave, that still leaves him maybe with a little bit of extra money and a little bit more room if they did make a trade to bring in somebody like Harper.
Do you think Russell and Montgomery would still be the main pieces the Cubs would be offering up for Machado at this point? Or do you think that dynamic has changed at all?
You know, I think that would still, I mean, if I were the Orioles, that's still the two pieces I would kind of look to. And I think from the Cubs' perspective, those would be the two that seem to make the most sense. Again, knowing that, for one, you've got a position-for-position swap, essentially with Machado playing shortstop again. Russell obviously being controlled for several years. And either there's a change of scenery idea, so maybe they get the bounce back from that. As I mentioned, Montgomery having the ability to come in there and start. We know the Orioles have kind of had some trouble, to say the least, with the starting rotation and the pitching staff in general. So I think someone like that, who, again, is controlled for several more seasons, gives them a little bit more stability there. And then you look at the Cubs with the moves they made to bring on Tyler Chatwood, who's looked really good over his last couple of starts. Yu Darvish is in there. And then you add that in with the other guys they've got in Hendricks, Jose Quintana, and John Lester, and the entire staff is under team control for three more seasons. So Montgomery really doesn't have the ability to step into the rotation and may not have as much value to the team, to the Cubs right now as a reliever, but I think he presents a lot greater value as a trade chip. And so I do think that those are the two guys that could probably extract the most value and that would make the most sense for the Orioles to ask for in return.
I do wonder, though, from the Orioles' perspective at this point, whether they're going to be most interested in guys who are already in the major leagues. In other words, things beyond 2018 for the Orioles are very dicey. They're losing Machado. They're going to probably lose Adam Jones, Zach Britton. There's a whole bunch of guys who are free agents. And I'm wondering if at this point they're going to be looking more towards prospects, you know, than major league ready players like Addison Russell and Montgomery, who, frankly, you know, the Orioles are not going to be a contender for the next 3 years. So having Addison Russell under control for 3 years, I'm not sure how much good that does them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and I think that's absolutely the case. And I think that's something to be concerned with. And then, you know, I think what it comes down to, you know, obviously talking about the Cubs, but one of the other teams that's been frequently mentioned – was the White Sox, right? They loaded up kind of somewhat famously, you know, in their rebuild here. They've loaded up on tons and tons of prospects over the last few years with trades of Chris Sale, Adam Eaton, some other guys. So you could even look across town. I think a lot of it's going to come down to, though, you know, did the Orioles kind of sour any of these other teams on making a trade just because of the strategies that they employed? You know, do we still have, I think there were 8 or 9 teams that had contacted them. The Yankees being one of them, obviously we know they're not going to deal with the Yankees. But I think there's also this sense that they may want to make a trade with Angelos being steadfast in the idea that not only would he not trade Machado to the Yankees, but he didn't even want to trade him to a team that could possibly then move him to the Yankees. I don't know how much the Yankees acquisitions would put the kibosh on any pursuit of Machado after this season, but I think they may kind of be inclined to deal with some teams that actually have a better chance of re-signing him, as strange as that seems. But we talked about how they don't necessarily do things logically. You almost wonder if there would be some kind of a premium placed on a team like the White Sox or somebody else who might still be looking to make a flip or to do something with Machado should they not actually get into contention. So I don't know. It's one of those weird things where I think there's, beyond just the talent involved, there are some other mitigating factors that could lead to who they deal with and what they get in return.
Well, yeah, it's so true. I mean, you know, those of us who are Orioles people, we know this, but the Angelos factor is always something that you have to keep in mind, that it's unpredictable. You don't know exactly what's going to happen, what factors are going to be put into their decision-making. And for those reasons, you know, it really is true that you can look at a team like the Cubs and we can sit here and speculate away, but we just don't know at the end of the day what he's going to agree to and not agree to, and whether he's going to want to put all sorts of provisions in place so that, like you said, you know, not, I mean, at this point, it wouldn't make sense for a team trading for him to flip him to the Yankees, but still you can see him putting into place conditions that teams just aren't going to agree to and just make this very difficult for anybody who wants to be a trading partner. And that's the frustrating thing as an Orioles fan. It's like, just do the trade, you know, find the best deal you can make and make the trade at this point. That's the only thing to do for the long-term health of this club. And yet they just don't seem to be willing to do that. Or when I say they, I think it's mainly one person, to be honest.
Well, and I think the other thing to consider, you know, as you look at, well, at this point, once we've gotten into the season now, the club is not going to have, whatever club does end up acquiring him is only going to have him for a portion of the season, thereby eliminating their own ability to put a qualifying offer on him and get a compensatory pick. And so, you know, the value and maybe what they're willing to give up, obviously Machado in and of himself is a great value, but they're already going to miss not only his production prior to him joining that team, but they're going to miss the opportunity of any compensation should he opt to go elsewhere. And so you do have to assume that there's going to be a bit of a discount on what would have been a pretty good premium, even for a rental player. So I think there's a few other things that go into that. And so, you know, that could change the thinking and it could even change the teams altogether that are even in the race. You know, does a rebuilding team even go for that? Because now you've lost prospects and you get nothing in return if he doesn't come back. So I wonder, you know, whether that will eliminate some teams from possibilities and then thereby, you know, kind of cut out the Orioles' leverage as far as kind of pitting teams against one another in a bidding war.
Yeah, so true. And I think that you bring up another point, which is something that we've talked about here in Birdland, that is, given the horrible start the Orioles have gotten off to, you know, they just won 2 out of 3 against the Tigers. But even given that, we still have to consider this a horrible start to the season. It's only their second series win of the year, their first series win of the year at Camden Yards, and it's against the Tigers. So take it all with a grain of salt. But, you know, the thing that we have to consider is, given this slow start, does it make sense for them to try to trade him soon rather than waiting till July? You know what I mean? It's, you know, you have... If you can give a team a deal where you're going to get Machado for, say, most of May and June, maybe you can get a little more back for him. Do you think the Cubs would be willing to make a deal early in the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's been kind of interesting because obviously they're in a slightly different position now from even what if we had talked a week ago, you know, coming off of a sweep of the Brewers and jumping back into within if they win, recording this here on Monday, if they win Monday night against the Rockies, they could be in first place in the division after being a few games back and kind of scuffling to start. So there are always these thoughts, you know, of gosh, this isn't coming together. And you sort of wonder when it will. Do we need to do something to spark this team? It does look a little different, although, you know, even that four-game sweep of the Brewers is slightly misleading. The Brewers scored a total of 2 runs across 4 games. So it's not as if the Cubs went out there and beat them, you know, 10-0 and 9-1 or something like that. These were close games. The offense had to eke some things out and really manufacture some runs. They've been without a few players. Anthony Rizzo scuffling. Chris Bryant's been out after being beaned and just came back. Ben Zobrist has missed time. So, you know, you look at this, and as good as these players are, they haven't really been able to maintain a really consistent approach. And so if there's something you can do to bolster that offense, to provide, and the best way I can put it is just to eliminate any real doubt or provide as much leeway, I guess, as possible against any of those little slumps. If there's a move they can make, and I think we've seen this from Theo Epstein in the past, if there's a move he can make that he believes will set them up as a contender, he will be more than happy to make the tough deal. I mean, that's what they did when they acquired Aroldis Chapman, to a lesser extent, Wade Davis, obviously different situations being closers, but we've seen that he'll empty out the farm and really spend big on some of these things if they believe it puts them in a position to win the World Series. And that's really what this team is at this point. And if Machado is that guy, I think they'd absolutely try to make that deal early and really distance themselves a little bit from some divisional opponents, especially like the Pirates, that have kind of jumped up and been a lot better than people expected. It's a tight division race. You want to get as much ground away from those teams as you possibly can.
And this may be a little out of your comfort zone as a Cubs insider, but you talked about it a little bit in the article. What other teams do you think make sense for a Machado deal? Are there others that you think are good matches?
You know, I haven't gone too much into it. I did mention earlier, you know, the White Sox are one where you kind of wonder if you look at a team that's sort of in a position, the Sox make sense kind of to where the Cubs were back maybe after the 2014 season, when they went out and prior to 2015, spent big on John Lester. Kind of that guy that signals, okay, hey, we're ready to contend now. And the White Sox may have that potential. They can put a lot of these young players around a proven producer and a guy who can kind of anchor that lineup. So I could definitely see that, you know, obviously outside of most of the other contenders. And that's what's kind of interesting is who out there do we feel, you know, has the pieces to go get him and is kind of in that position that they feel like he would actually improve them. I don't really know who makes a ton of sense. Like I said, I've focused on it so much from the Cubs perspective. I don't really know what other teams are out there. You know, maybe you look at, and I don't even know if they've been mentioned, but I do think the Cardinals are one of those teams that could take a guy like him, put him over on one of the corners. They could, I don't know how they fit him into that lineup necessarily, but the Cards have a ton of pitching in the minors. I mean, just they're loaded. Their top 20 prospects, I want to say it's like 16 or 18 of them are pitchers. And so they've got a wealth of the kind of production or the kind of players that the Orioles might be looking for. Young pitchers, like you said, they don't need to come right in and start. They can come into their maturity over the next 3 to 5 to 6 years. And so when you look at kind of how they match up from a pure trade perspective, and the fact that they expect to compete, that could be a team that would make sense. We know they were in on some of the guys down in Miami. They were really heavy in on Giancarlo Stanton. So that's one that I think could make sense.
Yeah, I talked to Will Leach last week for the podcast, and he mentioned the Cardinals. And of course, Will Leach is going to mention the Cardinals no matter what you're talking about. But right. But anyway, he did mention that. And that's one thing, too, a factor that it's not relevant for the Cubs, but it may be relevant for other people, is that Machado wants to play shortstop and doesn't really want to go back to third. For the Cubs, it would be perfect fit because that would be the best position for him. For other teams, it's not necessarily the best position. I mean, you talk about the Yankees. I mean, Didi Gregorius is putting up MVP numbers right now. They're not going to mess with that, I would assume. You know, other teams like, you know, that are set at short are not going to necessarily want to put him in that position. So part of this is going to be maybe his willingness to move to third and to, you know, move back to third and be willing to play there at least for the rest of this season.
When you wonder how much of that, too, I think, you know, and obviously he's a strong-willed kind of guy and he's certainly paid his dues thus far. But there's probably something to be said for maybe getting out of the situation in Baltimore and playing for a contender, you know, especially if he knows if he's looking at it like, hey, this is only for the remainder of this year, I'll slide over there for a chance to compete and get to the playoffs and perhaps win a World Series or something like that. So you kind of wonder about that. But, yeah, absolutely. I think there's so many different factors once you really dig into it on this one that really go so far beyond just, hey, who matches up well and who can make this trade or who could afford to trade for him. But then you look back and what does Baltimore's owner want to do? What does Machado want to do? You know, what the human factor in this, I think, is what makes it so interesting all the way around and why I kind of enjoy digging into it as frequently as it's come up.
Yes, I would honestly, I would prefer not to be thinking about it so much. I wish they had extended him a long time ago and that this was all irrelevant, but that's not the way the world works and certainly not the way the Orioles work. So I think Manny Machado trade speculation is going to take up a good part of my time for the next few months anyway on this podcast. But Evan, thanks so much for joining us. People could check out that article and others at CubsInsider.com. And where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me. My personal account is at D. Evan Altman. A lot of that is kind of Cubs centric, but they could also follow. We have just an account for the site at Real Cubs Insider. A little bit more just our posts from the site and memes and GIFs and all kinds of more fun stuff like that. So, yeah, again, at Real Cubs Insider or at D. Evan Altman.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.